This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Hashtag 987 jobs opportunity. Comba is calling all graduates from TVETs, universities or universities of technology to apply for its 12-month paid leadership and internship program. Comba is a technology company that builds solutions for the minibus and public transport sector. It has partnered with MICT CETA to recruit 100 graduates. They will also receive a free laptop and monthly data to access their learning materials. You have until Monday the 16th of November, which is tomorrow, to submit your applications on www.comba.app/jobs/. Alternatively, you can inquire about applications via WhatsApp line on 071-133-4283. Submissions close at midnight. Hashtag 987 jobs, restoring our collective dignity, one opportunity at a time.
Stay home and stay informed.
When you wash your hands, wash the tap as well so you don't touch the tap and then go back and infect yourself.
Stop the spread. Power 98.7. Sunday Perspective on Power 98.7. Now we're talking.
Now, Benjamin Bradlow has written a very interesting piece on The Conversation talking about the transport system. He says South Africa's Transport Minister, Fikile Mbalula, has confirmed his commitment to implement a new subsidy for the country's minibus taxi sector. And for the first time, he also provided a timeline for the proposal, promising to work with the National Treasury and the taxi sector to put the subsidy in place by April 2021. Mbalula has described the prospect of the subsidy as a new dawn, but the design of the subsidy that has been reported so far suggests something much more familiar. The approach is largely geared towards financing the improvement of the capital stock of the sector, such as upgrading vehicles. As we have both previously written, successful reform of the taxi sector is unlikely without a concurrent focus on providing incentives for the industry to change the way it operates. Benjamin Bradlow is joining us all the way from North America. He's a postdoctoral fellow with a head center for the international affairs at Harvard University. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Let's start with some of the issues that you have with the proposed proposal of the subsidy from the minister. Let's talk through what the real problems are.
Yeah, so a capital subsidy, which you referred to just now, is not something that's entirely new in terms of the relationship between government and the taxi sector. This goes back as early as 1999 with what has been referred to as the Taxi Recapitalization Program. Many people refer to this as the RECAP program who are in that area of government. And this program basically funds the purchase of new vehicles and repairs for existing vehicles, primarily administered through provincial government.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the condition of vehicles is definitely an issue, and it's definitely a cost that taxi operators have to deal with. But what I argue in this piece, which I should just mention was co-written with Harry Schellekamp at University of Cape Town,
mm-hmm.
is that the operational issues with the taxi sector,
mm-hmm.
which refers to how users basically encounter the system. You know, when does the taxi pick them up? The reliability of the system, how do they pay for the system, the cost of the system? None of those questions are addressed through a capital subsidy. And in fact, it's those questions, those issues that arise from the user perspective that we're arguing are some of the most urgent questions that government should be addressing in terms of reforming the taxi sector.
Mm. And then you talk a lot about, you know, governance, and what is the actual role of municipalities?
Yeah, so municipalities don't have a very strong role with the minibus taxi sector right now. In fact, there's very little government role in terms of regulating the minibus taxi sector besides some light licensing of routes and the licensing of vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
But municipalities in particular don't have a very strong role. One thing that we propose in the article is that municipalities are much better placed to manage an operational subsidy, which is our key intervention, because they can deal with a more manageable number of taxis than provinces would have to deal with. And they're more focused on how people move through the city. So from a planning perspective, municipalities, at least the large metro municipalities, have a much better sense and are much closer to how residents are actually using the taxi system to get through the city on a daily basis.
So what you're essentially proposing is for municipalities to take on these subsidies in the same way that they would, say, for electricity rates, you know, refuse collection, basic services.
Yeah, in large part, that's correct. But one difference is we're very encouraged that national government is keen to provide new financing to the taxi sector. Mm-hmm. So what we're saying is national government should provide that financing through municipalities. You don't want to set up a situation where municipalities are relying on generating new revenue or even just covering the costs of the taxi sector without an effective subsidy from national government. Now, one thing I should just mention is the taxi sector is the only sector in transportation whose operations receive no subsidy. So formal bus systems, the train system, these all receive a formal subsidy from government. But as I suspect you're aware and your listeners are aware, the taxi sector is by far the most popular form of collective transportation that is used in the country in every single city in the country. So there's a real imbalance that the least used forms of transportation are receiving the most subsidy.
Mm-hmm. And you also say in the article that successful reform in the taxi sector is unlikely without a concurrent focus on providing incentives for the industry to change the way it operates. In what way can you then further incentivize them?
Right. So the kind of carrot, the incentive, is that the cost of operations are being subsidized. So that means that the government is not just helping you keep up your vehicle or purchase a new vehicle if you're a taxi operator, but the government is also helping you to pay for your labor costs and pay for all the kinds of recurrent operational costs that you encounter. That's petrol, labor, as I was just saying, other kinds of more routine maintenance, various administrative costs. So that's the incentive. And what we're arguing, this is not a silver bullet by any stretch of the imagination. This is a very complicated sector with a lot of very complicated relationships, including what many believe are relationships with a more kind of illicit economy. But what we're saying is that the operational subsidy can begin to untangle some of those knots so that government, and we believe municipal government is best placed to do this, can begin to organize the sector into larger scale cooperatives that could then provide a more functional way of operating. So what does that look like in practice? The kind of thing you might anticipate is being able to buy one ticket that could apply for multiple rides in a journey. So we know, you know, people are traveling very long distances, taking multiple taxis. They may come from Soweto, then switch in the CBD on their way to Sandton. You could pay one price to go all of that journey instead of having to pay a new price for each new taxi that you get along that journey.
So more of an integrated system, but how do you get, you know, the associations and the industry to buy into it?
Well, look, there are no promises. And the fact is that every time we present these arguments, there's always skepticism. And it's rightful skepticism in a lot of ways, because there's a long and protracted history that we're all aware of, violence in the taxi sector, very distant and antagonistic relationships between the taxi associations and government. And what we're saying is that an operational subsidy is a way to begin to unlock that relationship and to say, look, as government, we understand that the key issue is not just your capital stock, but it's the day-to-day of how you run your business. And if we help you in terms of the day-to-day costs of running your business, we believe that that is a basis for discussing reorganizing the operations of the sector to be more integrated and more effective for the users of this sector.
Talking about history of this, this is not the first time that government has provided a capital subsidy to the sector. And what would make mm-hmm. this time around a bit more different?
Yeah, well, the truth is I'm concerned that the discussion remains at the level of a subsidy for the capital stock.
Mm.
As you rightly point out, this has been tried before. You know, this would be more money. That's helpful.
Mm.
But it's not new in terms of the institutional relationships that are being forged here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, government has spent a lot of money, for example, on bus rapid transit systems, BRT systems, in the largest cities in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a widespread recognition, including from the former transport minister, Ismail Vadi, that I hope I'm remembering his name correct, that the BRT subsidy has largely been a waste of money in terms of not many people are using the system. It serves a limited area. It's just the users aren't using it. And taxis remain the dominant form of transportation.
Mm.
So that's an operational subsidy. That's a capital subsidy. That's everything that's going to BRT.
Mm.
So what we're saying is you need to think outside of the box of the subsidy-induced relationships between government and the taxi sector in order to craft a different kind of functioning relationship in terms of how the taxi sector is governed.
You know, in the South African context, it's a bit difficult because, you know, the way that the relationship between government and the taxi industry specifically has been structured in the country is that the taxi industry, by and large, calls the shots because they have the majority of people who commute. So when they call for a complete shutdown, I don't know if the South African economy would be able to withstand that. And it is for this reason that government has had to make so many concessions already to the industry itself.
No, that's true. And, you know, I fully agree. The taxi sector is a critical industry in South Africa. It's transporting the majority of people every day.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives it that power to shut down the country, essentially. Now, the issue is, how do you respond to that power?
Mm.
What's happening with the new subsidy now, the way that it seems to be being structured, is this from a position of weakness. The government appears to be saying, okay, we recognize your power. We've got to do something. We're going to throw some money at the problem, and you can buy some new taxis and maintain your existing taxi.
Mm.
A stronger approach is to say, okay, we recognize your power, and we believe that you are critical stakeholders in the future of our country's economy.
Mm.
And once you start from that perspective, then you say, well, we need to use our investments as government effectively to produce a more functioning operational governance of this sector. And that's the kind of thing that we're describing. Now, President Cyril Ramaphosa came out on either Sunday or Monday last week, basically saying that the goal for this subsidy is to begin to get the taxi sector to pay some taxes. And we know that the South African government is facing a major cash crunch. That was made clear by Finance Minister Tito Mboweni's medium-term budget speech not so long ago. But this is not a sector that's going to fill the kind of hole that President Ramaphosa is facing in the national fiscus. So instead of thinking in it short term, there needs to be a kind of deeper institutional understanding of what needs to change in the taxi sector and what carrots government might have to be able to begin pushing that change.
And another thing, Benjamin, that you guys say in the article is that operating subsidies are not a silver bullet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's not, and that's why I don't think that people should overpromise what an operating subsidy on its own can do. Mm. I think that we need to have an approach to government investment that sees incremental progress along the way. And an operational subsidy, and sometimes in order to get there, you need to try something new in order to get people on a different path. Mm-hmm. The task that government and the taxi sector is on right now is basically a stuck path, what I would refer to as a low-level equilibrium. Mm-hmm. And the scale of funds and the type of funding that's being discussed in terms of this capital subsidy is unlikely to break out of that low-level equilibrium. Mm-hmm. What we're suggesting instead is that an operational subsidy could begin a different kind of conversation with the taxi sector that could produce more stability over time for operators in a very cutthroat and volatile industry, and produce a lot more positive incentives for the transport system of the future that users, operators, and government would all like to see.
Mm-hmm. And also, before I let you go, you know, what are the different deliverables that government can start chasing, you know, with the tools that we have in place now to start this transformation that you speak of?
Mm-hmm. Well, so one thing we talk about is establishing Metropolitan Transit Authority, which would be an institutional space in the large metro municipalities that could begin managing not only the disbursement of the subsidy, but establishing new regulations for how the taxi system should function. Mm-hmm. So that could mean things like setting schedules, delineating clear routes, beginning to move towards a more integrated ticketing system, organizing very small operating taxi operator businesses into larger cooperatives. We believe that that kind of institutional reform could be a good complement to the national government through Treasury and the Transport Ministry agreeing to fund an operational subsidy on a continuous basis.
All right. That's Benjamin Bradlow. Thank you so much for your insight talking about, you know, the different ways in which government can approach the subsidy for the transport sector, more specifically the taxi industry. We'll be back right after this.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.